Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, Stabcast for short, your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers, Slagkick and Sulker.
We need Pokeballs. P-O-K accent E balls.
Today is September 25th, 2016, and this is Stabcast Episode 5, Trading Card Game 101. And, Sulker, I believe you had a subtitle for this episode?
No? Pokemon the Card Game?
I stand corrected. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. This week, Trainer Sulker will be leading a discussion on getting into the trading card game. But first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks. Sulker, what have you done this week that is Poke-centric?
There's a lot of things. Well, let's see. I got my Pokemon Go Plus, which has basically brought me back into playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah? How is that going?
It's going amazingly. Oh, God. I'm going to get sick of these Pokemon Go puns. So, yeah, the device itself is really awesome. It's gotten me playing the game to the point where I'm actually gaining levels again. My Pokemon buddy's getting lots of traction on his collecting candy. We're almost there, Magikarp. You'll be a Gyarados one day soon.
Aw, buddy.
So that's been kind of the majority. I will say that I also did get quite a few of the card game packs since our last episode. I got the Pikachu EX box, the Victini EX pack. I feel like I also bought a random deck that I'm not remembering. In any case, I've got to open up a bunch of cards. I'm very happy with all of them. Even got my Mega Venusaur EX card, so that was a delight. Oh, yeah, and I also got a really awesome birthday gift from one of the trainers in this room.
You're welcome.
Not you, Slagkick, not you. I received a plethora of Pikachu. That could really actually be an episode of the anime. Just
a plethora of Pikachu.
Bum, ba, ba, da, 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 da. Wait, that was the Legend of Zelda noise. Oh, well, whatever. So, yeah.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take Pika.
So I got Pikachu in a variety of mega outfits. I will probably post them on our Twitter at some point relatively soon. Not right now. Probably by the time this is aired. I have not had time to play the games, and I've been looking at the Pokemon card game a bunch. That's pretty much it. Let's ask Slagkick, how's your Poke Week been?
So, a little bit lesser than usual. I did log in a couple times to PokeGo since the latest update, which lets you have a buddy. I've not assigned a buddy yet. Like, I keep forgetting to do that.
Okay,
but,
like, you need to pick a buddy. Like,
no, I know.
You know what? I ain't even gonna judge you because I literally just did mine yesterday. Like, I got the PokeGo Plus. I've been using it all week, and I still didn't even have a buddy set until, I said yesterday, but actually Friday. I didn't have a buddy set until Friday, so I feel you, man.
And I definitely feel like I need to get a PokeGo Plus because now every time I'm out in public, like, you know, walking around, I keep forgetting to Pokehunt. Like, I guess I've just been distracted or busy when I've been, you know, out in public places lately. But yeah, so I think I need to get a PokeGo Plus. Other than that, I've just been enjoying Pokemon Generations, and I've been enjoying the anime, which I'm going to lead the discussion for this week. And I really want some Poke plushes, but I don't have any.
LOL. Let's see. So my Poke Week has largely just been the PokeGo Plus. It has really, for me, revitalized the game. I went from logging in once every couple of days, you know, I was really starting to fade out, to now every time I go outside, I make sure my PokeGo Plus is paired with my phone, and I'm hunting everywhere I go now. So it's definitely brought me back in a big way. Really enjoying it.
Weren't you having an issue with the Pokemon Go Plus in the first couple days you had it?
Oh, yeah. So after I'd been using it for about 6 hours, I couldn't catch any more Pokemon. It would just flash red immediately. And it was like that for like 2 days, and I was really mad about it. And then it turned out that I just was, my box was all full. I had to get rid of some Pokies. So LOL, joke's on me. Nothing wrong with the PokeGo Plus.
More to come if we find actual issues. One thing that we can report is it will only use actual Pokeballs. It won't use
Great Balls
or
whatever.
Ultra Ball. So if you run out of Pokeball, you better start hitting up those Pokestops.
It's almost as if it only uses the balls that you can coincidentally buy in the cash shop.
What?
Other than that, you know, I've basically had a pretty similar Poke Week to you guys. Bought more cards, got the Pikachu EX Generations box, and I ended up getting the full card art version of the Mega Charizard EX, so I'm super excited about that.
Envy.
But, you know, otherwise, just, you know, playing a lot of Pokego and trying to stay cool. So, with all that having been said, though, I think it's probably time that we dig into our news for the week. Sulker, you want to take our first Muse or Poke News?
Yes. First English Evolutions card set is going to be releasing at select stores at the end of October. On October 30th, Toys R Us in Canada and the United States will be getting the first of the Evolutions cards, which are the ones that have been revealed are Charizard, Ninetales Break, and Mewtwo EX. These cards are different than their previous releases. So you'll be able to get them at Toys R Us starting on the 30th, and then GameStop on October 31st, and then supposedly at other retails like Target and Walmart by November 2nd. The Japanese version of this set is named the 20th Anniversary Set, and it was released last Friday. The English set contains cards from that set, and will include the Japanese promos like Slowbro EX and Mega Slowbro EX.
Yeah, something really cool about this is largely the function of this series appears to be sort of taking some of the fan favorite cards from like the original game, like the original, like before any expansions version of the Pokemon trading card game, and sort of like buffing the cards so that they are competitive in the modern day. So
yeah, can we talk about that fire spin that does 200 damage?
Yeah, so
are you talking about the Charizard card?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we talk about the Charizard card, we can see that the newest version has an additional 30 HP, does an extra 100 damage on its fire spin attack, and also comes with the ability Energy Burn. All energy attached to this Pokemon are fire energy instead of their usual type.
Well, and the original card had that ability as a Pokemon power. Something interesting, though, is, you know, you remark that the fire spin ability now does twice as much damage as it used to, but in order to keep up a semblance of balance, instead of discarding two energy cards attached to Charizard, you will now have to discard three energy. And, you know, they also change that language to reflect three energy rather than three energy cards.
Yeah.
My understanding is that that does mean you can use a double energy to take up two of those energy discards.
Nice.
Yep.
So definitely, you know, really interesting stuff. Really cool to see some of these old power cards going to be coming back into play and, you know, brought back up to sort of where power creep has led us with, you know, the new basic cards being as powerful as the old third evolution cards. So definitely a good thing. I'm really excited for this set. I think you have this next one.
Yeah, in other Pokemon Evolutions trading card game news, we have a lot of information about the Elite Trainer boxes and blister packs. So first up with the Elite Trainer boxes, there's either Mega Charizard Y or Mega Blastoise, a retail price of $39.99, and each will come with 8 Evolutions booster packs, 65 card sleeves, 45 retro energy cards, Evolutions player guide, 6 damage counter dice, a coin flip die, 2 acrylic condition markers, and a lovely collector's box, as well as a Pokemon trading card game online code card.
And the collector's box comes with 4 dividers. And I have to say, you know, I bought the Elite Trainer box for the card set we were just talking about. What was it?
Evolutions?
No, the one that you had bought with the Pikachu EX cards.
Generations?
I believe so. Yeah, so I have one of these boxes. You know, the dividers are actually like really well done. The actual box can be used to store cards really well. It's actually like a really nice kit. And that these things retail for, you know, $40-$50 is to me actually a steal.
I mean,
now that I've bought one.
The fact that it comes with 8 booster packs alone, I mean, that's worth it like right away. I mean,
yeah, it really is. It really is. And the Evolutions blister packs that will be coming are actually going to have promos with Braxian cards and Black Kyurem cards.
What?
So, right? So those
yes.
are also going to be very exciting.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for this. Since I've been dumping a bunch of money into Pokemon-related things lately, I imagine I'll be getting one, if not both, of these sets.
We also have product images of the 5 upcoming EX boxes. This is going to be Charizard EX, Dragonite EX, and Mewtwo EX, as well as Gengar EX and Kangaskhan EX. And this is going to be interesting because the Charizard EX card is the Charizard card from Flash Fire, even though it does come with modern Steam Siege cards. The Dragonite EX is based off of the Dragonite EX card from Furious Fists. The Mewtwo EX card is the Mewtwo EX from Breakthrough. Kangaskhan EX is from Flashfire. And Gengar EX is from Phantom Forces. So in several cases, these are like sort of the best versions of those cards. So this is really exciting stuff. Obviously, they come with, you know, modern Steam Siege and Fates Collide cards. So definitely going to be some good values to be had when these release in December.
Do you think I can like set up with like the Pokemon trading card division? Like, can I just give them my credit card and they can just charge me anytime new sets come out and they can just mail them to me direct?
You know, you say that, but like you could just sign up at the Poke Center website and buy these things as they are added to the database. Like, it's only one more step.
Yeah, but that's not automated and I don't
like
the
card subscription service.
Exactly. I want a subscription service.
Ah, they ought to talk to Lootbox and get that going.
Right?
Anyway, Sulker, I think you have this next one.
Yep. So we have more additional Sun and Moon Pokemon revealed in the last time since we have aired. Sit back and enjoy this update. So we have our first game-specific Pokemon. So in Sun and Moon, you get one of two different Pokemon. There's Passimian, who is the Teamwork Pokemon. It's a cute little, well, I say little, but it's about 6 feet tall Pokemon.
Aw, itty bitty.
Yeah, you know, just kind of short.
Just little cute things.
So this Pokemon.
Teeny tiny Teamwork Pokemon.
No. Save that for RuPaul's Drag Race. So this Pokemon works in groups. It lobs berries at its foes. And it wants a trainer that has the qualities of a leader. It's basically looks like someone took the idea of a Blitzball player from Final Fantasy X and said, what if it was a monkey instead? So I'm there for it. Since I'm getting Sun, I'm definitely going to get my hands on this Pokey as soon as possible. In the Moon version, we have Oranguru, the Sage Pokemon. It's a normal/psychic type. This one is more of a solitary type Pokemon that lives in the forest. It is said that it was once part of a race of humans that went into the woods to be at one with nature and are now the people of the forests. Oranguru is a healer Pokemon who will help out other Pokemon in the forest. I think it's super cute. Which one of you guys are getting Pokemon Moon?
I am.
Well, I will definitely be Moon.
Okay, then I can definitely set you guys up with Passimian for Oranguru.
Yeah, I'm really into this normal psychic typing. That means it should be immune to ghost and take less damage from fighting if I'm thinking of my type matchups correctly.
Next, we have Lycanroc, midday form and midnight form.
Yes!
So this evolves from Rockruff. In Pokemon Sun, you get the midday form, and surprisingly, in Pokemon Moon, you get midnight form. The difference between these two Pokemon, one, the Lycanroc looks more like a smaller, more agile Pokemon at 2 foot tall. It's supposed to be, it dodges its opponent strikes while attacking with its sharp rocks of its mane. So it is a rock type still. And then midnight form is a little bit taller and a little bit more insane looking. So I'm definitely going to need someone to trade me one of these.
I'd be happy to.
It's a werewolf.
It's basically the werewolf Pokemon.
The werewolf Pokemon.
In other news, we did get confirmation that there will be trainer customization in this version. So you have Alola Fashions, meaning you'll get to customize your trainer's looks for how you want to play. We assume that you'll be able to get more clothes and customization options as you go along in the game, much as you did in Pokemon X and Y. Pokemon Refresh is the system that kind of builds off the previous Pokemon Care system.
Pokemon-a-me.
So Pokemon Refresh allows you to do a lot of the same things, feed your Pokemon, pet them. You can additionally kind of groom them when they're all dirty. And this is actually useful statistically because you can use it to remove status conditions as poison and paralysis.
And I'm hoping that Professor Kukui will be available in Pokemon Refresh.
I'm pretty sure he won't be, but you can write the fanfiction or the code that can make it happen.
Hey, there have been very similar types of fan-made Flash games.
Well, you go ahead and get that started up, you perv. You're one of our favorite pervs, don't get me wrong.
One of your favorite pervs, maybe.
You introduced him into my life. Don't blame this on me.
Oh my god, though, these Z moves are super cute.
So yes, we did get confirmation of two specific Pokemon Z moves. The first is Extreme Evo Boost. It's going to be Eevee's Z move. It essentially takes the power of all of the other Eeveelutions and uses it to boost its own abilities. So its attack, defense, special attack, special defense, and speed all increase by two ranks. The second move is Castropika.
Castropika.
Hey, that's the newest
Comes
Pokemon.
Comes with leather
plush.
Chaps.
Flagging yellow.
No. Pikachu's use Surf.
This Pikachu exclusive Z move is a super-powered attack where Pikachu borrows its trainer's strength, wrapping itself in an extra high-voltage power attack, and charges its opponent. This will be Pikachu's most powerful attack.
I love these both. Extreme Evo Boost makes me think of, like, Sailor Moon borrowing the power of all her Sailor Senshi.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transporter updates as well. So, essentially, to boil this larger update down, we're going to be able to transfer Pokemon from the red and blue versions, and additionally yellow, you know, the gimmick game, from the game to Pokebank and then down into Pokemon Sun and Moon. This has been confirmed previously, but we are getting updates on it now. Do you guys have anything else to say on this?
I do not, other than I am increasingly excited for Sun and Moon.
And that Pokemon Yellow, you must mean, is the gimme game? Because everyone's like, gimme, because it's the best version.
All right, Slaggy, I think you have the next news piece.
I do. This is some Pokemon Go news, and it's a little unfortunate, but I mean, not super dire. And that news is that it is no longer the top grossing app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. On the iOS Store, Clash Royale from Supercell is the game that has boosted it. Or ousted it, rather. And the last I checked on Google Play, there was a Wheel of Fortune game that was number one. So, sorry, Pokego.
We all make choices.
That's a choice.
As unfortunate as it is, it's not altogether unexpected with the game kind of having piqued a bunch of people's curiosity early on. And now it's clear that it's mostly like Pokemon super fans that are still playing the game.
And, you know, we all say this, but as soon as there's an expansion to bring more Pokies into it, I bet we'll see some of those people who left come back too. So I don't think this is the last we've heard of Pokego on tearing up the charts.
Tearing up my charts when I'm with you.
All right, so I'm going to cut Slackick off from singing so that we can talk about the upcoming release Pokemon Super Premium Collection Mew and Mewtwo at Barnes & Noble. This is going to be releasing a week from tomorrow, in fact. It will be in stores on October 3rd. It is going to be Monday.
October 3rd.
It's going to be You totally threw me off, you jerk. It's going to be one of the most expensive of the English trading card game products released. This box is actually going to have the Mew EX and Mewtwo EX promo cards, a figure of both of them fighting together, 10 packs of Generations boosters, as well as 3 card collection boxes, each featuring Blastoise or Charizard or Venusaur. It's also going to come with 12 train-on themed dividers and an art book that goes into a behind-the-scenes with various Pokemon trading card game illustrators. And to wrap it all up, it will come with a Pokemon trading card game online code card.
Oh, just in time for my birthday. Thanks, everyone.
No one cur. I am super excited about this. I am absolutely going to try to find one of these in stores. I need this.
Yeah, I think 100% with, like, the art book, care about October 3rd because this comes out. That's what makes October 3rd special.
Also, that's the day that Aaron Samuels asked Katie Heron what day it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, definitely something to be excited about and look forward to. And if you're in my area, stay away from your local Barnes & Nobles until after I get mine. Thanks.
Same.
I believe we have one more news story here. Sulker, did you want to take this one?
Yes, I kind of expanded upon the one that you posted. So the Pokemon Center website is now featuring its Halloween Circus Pokemon, and that's merch specifically. So you can now go onto their website and buy a plethora of themed Pokies, such as Eevee Halloween Circus Poke Plush, which may be my favorite of the set. It is an Eevee that is dressed like a pirate.
Yes! A little, like, Drifloon pirate hat. It's so cute.
It's super adorable. You also can get a Drifloon keychain plush.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a little Zubat hat on. There's an Espeon dressed like a witch, a Minun dressed like a Pumpkaboo, basically, a Pikachu dressed up like a jester, also kind of Pumpkaboo-y. Oh, and that, the Pikachu Halloween note card set is also super adorbs.
It has a Pikachu that's like a vampire Pikachu. It's all Goldbat themed. It's amazing.
And there's also just a straight up Pumpkaboo.
There is also just a straight up Pumpkaboo.
I like the Halloween Circus Pikachu. It looks kind of like from the Dark Carnival.
There's that. There's also the Plusle one that's also dressed like a Pumpkaboo. Umbreon dressed up like a bat witch thing. I'm living for it. A Pikachu pumpkin keychain and plush. And a Pikachu that's also dressed like a king. So go check out the Pokemon Center website for these spooky Halloween favorites. Let us know which ones you guys get.
I need all of these.
And I want to wrap up our news discussion this week by just mentioning that we will be getting more Sun and Moon announcements on October 4th. Look forward to it.
That's great. I know quite a few people who have birthdays on October 4th, none of which will be excited for this news.
Lame.
Will be a slightly belated birthday gift for me, especially if it's like an all Kukui direct.
Wait, I'm sorry. When's your birthday? Like, I feel like you haven't ever told us your birthday was in October.
Isn't it time for our discussion topic?
Yeah, let's jump right into that. So welcome to Pokemon the Trading Card Game 101, The Basics.
Wait, you called for me?
Nobody ever called for you, buddy. So the card game can be a daunting system / collectible to get into because it's been around for so many years that there are obviously going to be changes from when it was originally launched. So I kind of wanted to do an overview since I guess I'm now the one in the group that's most into this because I have a problem, and that problem is money in my wallet. So let's go ahead and get a rundown on how to play this game. So the basics, how do you play? So you got to keep in mind that with Pokemon, it's always a game about different types and pairing those types against one another, in addition to power levels and what have you. So Pokemon and their energy break down into 11 different types. That's grass, fire, water, lightning, not electric, mind you, lightning, psychic, fighting, darkness, metal, not steel, fairy, dragon, and colorless, which would be the replacement for normal type. And then from there, you get the energy and the specific Pokemon types. Pokemon come in various types, such as basic. Sidekick, I'm waiting for you to say something. Basic. Anyways, evolution cards are the other type. So that's like a stage 1 evolution, stage 2, etc., and mega. There are also energy cards, as previously mentioned, and trainer cards, such as items, supporters, and stadiums. Item cards are used for healing your Pokemon or finding Pokemon from your deck. Supporters will help you out through their various card usages.
Typically, like, sort of working around the typical rules of the game.
Exactly. And stadiums, which are location cards, if you think about it in that way. There are limits to what kind or how many of cards you can have in the deck. You must have exactly 60 cards with a maximum of any one card name. So if you have a Pikachu, you can have 4 Pikachus. But if you have a Ash's Pikachu, which I'm not even sure is a card, you could have 4 of those. In addition,
well, Greninja would work well here.
Yeah, Greninja versus Ash's Greninja. So you could have 4 of each of those cards. The exception to this rule being energy, because you need energy to power up your Pokemon's attacks and abilities. The other rule to keep in mind is that you must have 1 basic Pokemon in your deck, which is important in an important rule that we can cover at a later time in other games or other TCG focus episodes. How do you win the game? So at the beginning of the game, you set aside 6 prize cards from your deck. As you knock out your opponent's Pokemon, you will collect 1 for one, generally speaking. We'll talk about the exception to that later. And once you've collected all six of your prize cards, you win. If you knock out all of your opponent's Pokemon in play, that's both on the bench and active, you win the game. Or if your opponent has no cards to draw at the beginning of their turn, the game goes to you. You play the game by each player taking their turns, first determined by a coin toss, and you each run through your actions, playing a basic Pokemon, evolving Pokemon, attaching an energy card to a Pokey, using training cards, and always lastly an attack, because after you attack, your turn is over. And of course, your attacks do the damage in increments of 10, and will sometimes have special rules listed on their play, such as flip a card or flip a coin for additional damage, or apply a status effect to an opponent's Pokemon. Weaknesses and resistances are still a thing that apply in this game. Each Pokemon card will list its weaknesses or resistances at the bottom of the card, and you'll do what it says. So a grass-type Pokemon might take times 2 damage from fire, whereas that same grass-type might reduce electric damage by 20. These generally don't apply to benched Pokemon.
So if someone uses an attack that hits all Pokemon in the field, be them active or benched, you're saying that you would not take into account the damage type, you would just take the flat damage listed.
Exactly. There are special conditions, as I've previously mentioned. There are only 5 of them. Poisoned, which makes you take a damage token or 10 points of damage between each turn. Asleep, which means your Pokemon is unable to attack or retreat this turn. Burn.
And how does that resolve?
Write down the rules. To resolve sleep, you flip a coin between turns. If you flip heads, the Pokemon wakes up, and you turn the card right side up. But if you flip a tails, it stays asleep.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Paralyzed, afflicted Pokemon can't attack or retreat, and this status is removed after a full turn in between phase. And confusion, or confused, the Pokemon may attack, but you flip a coin, and if you flip a tails, you take 3 damage counters
that
to that Pokemon.
That one sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and if it's a heads, your attack works as normal.
And then, I'm sorry, did you also mention burned?
Oh, I'm sorry, burned. I was saying that. And then there was a question about asleep. My bad. Burned, you take 2 damage tokens between turns on a tails coin toss. And if you receive a heads, you remove the burned status altogether.
So potentially not as bad as poison, but almost potentially worse.
Almost, because it can keep going. Special rules. As I mentioned previously, you can only have 4 of any one card type listed, so Pokemon names matter. If the Pokemon card lists a series of letters or levels after the Pokemon's name, they're not considered a part of the name, so a Gengar level 44 and level 41 would be considered the same card as a standard Gengar card. If there are symbols as a part of the names, that is considered part of the Pokemon's name. With the exception of the Delta species, such as in Aerodactyl or versus Aerodactyl DS, or Delta series. Owner's names, such as Ash's Greninja or Brock's Geodude, are considered part of the Pokemon's name. So as previously mentioned, you can have 4 of Ash's Greninja, and well as 4 regular Greninja. And these do affect evolution types. So if you have Brock's Geodude, it can't evolve into a Graveler because there's no Brock's Graveler card. EX Pokemon, it is considered part of the Pokemon's name, so this will affect the evolution to the next stage. And when an EX Pokemon is KO'd, it provides your opponent 2 prize cards instead of 1.
Oh, wow, so that's high risk, high reward.
Mm-hmm. But again, EX Pokemon will typically have a higher HP and higher attack damage. Then there are Mega Evolutions. The M becomes part of the Pokemon's name, so that means you can only have 4 of any one evolution, I believe. Or you might only be able to have 1 Mega Evolution in your card deck. I'm not sure on that rule.
I believe that is the case.
And when you use a Mega Evolution card, it breaks the evolution rule. Normally, you can evolve as many Pokemon as you like per turn, assuming it wasn't a Pokemon you just placed down.
So Pokemon have to be in play for a full turn before you can evolve them?
Yes, exactly. And normally you can continue your turn once you evolve a Pokemon. With Mega Evolution, it ends your turn, so you won't be able to attack in the same turn that you make a Pokemon evolve to Mega Form. So get out all of your other actions that you plan on doing in a turn prior to Mega Evolution. There are a plethora, because plethora is my word of the day, of other Pokemon rules. We'll get into that more in depth as we do additional spotlights on the Pokemon card game. But I did want to talk a little bit more about deck building in this session, if that's okay with everyone.
Of course. But...
Well, I don't see what refurbishing your deck has to do with the trading card game. I mean, it's very nice that you want to place outdoors to enjoy the nicer weather, but...
Ew, I would not call this weather nicer.
No,
anyway,
not
I just want to reiterate. So everything we just discussed, that's sort of like the basics of how to play the Pokemon trading card game. At this point, if you've bought like a pre-built deck, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you need to know in order to start playing.
Yeah, essentially, if you buy any of the decks that you can find available at Target, Walmart,
Toys R Us,
GameStop,
any kind of toy, game shop.
Yeah, you can just start off with that. They are 60 card decks that come with basic Pokemon, evolutions, trainer cards, and enough energy to play. So feel free to pick up one of those if that's as deep as you want to go into the poke hole of TCG.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say, I think that's a great way to get started because, the decks are pretty well balanced and you can have a lot of fun with them and, you can really get a feel. Even out customization, each deck kind of has its own special feel. So.
Well, and so that's actually exactly why I was saying that is for me, I think if you're interested in getting into the trading card game before you get into deck building, buy a pre-made, have a few games with it. I think you can build a better deck once you, from experience, understand sort of the ebb and flow of how the gameplay works. But once you've done that and you're ready to start deck building, that's where this next part comes into play.
Yeah, so I also would recommend that if you do buy a deck, kind of like separate it into its component parts first when you just want to kind of look at it, see how many energy cards come in it, how many basics, what are the energy types, is it a electric psychic deck, is it a fire grass deck. Look into that information and I think you'll have a good starting point. So let's talk about card deck building. So there are two really great resources that I like to look at when building a deck. The first comes in the general guidelines book that you can find on Pokemon's website. It outlines all of the rules that we've talked about here today, as well as additional rules that we maybe haven't covered. There is a section for deck building, so you can check that out. It's a useful resource. There is also an article on deck building from scratch listed on the Pokemon TCG website. It gives examples and tips for card choices and example decks you can build. Again, as discussed previously, you have to have exactly 60 cards in your deck, not 59, not 61, with a max of any four cards, with energy, of course, being the exception. Colorless Pokemon and colorless energy. You should always remember when building a deck that colorless Pokemon can use pretty much any energy for the most part. So you can use these versatile Pokemon to even out your deck if you don't feel you have a good balance with the one or two energy types that you have.
And while colorless Pokemon are generally sort of looked at as sort of the jack of all trades, master of none, I have seen some pretty compelling deck builds out there that are focused almost entirely on colorless Pokemon. So one really cool thing about the flexibility of how this game is designed is that you can sometimes make really unconventional strategies work, which I think is a really fun flexibility.
I agree. The point that the two guides kind of splits apart on are how many cards of each type you should have. The main book lists that you should have about 18 to 22 energy for your Pokemon, whereas the article says no more than 12. So this kind of like shows a difference in how you would play the game. One favors powering up your Pokemon, while the other allows for more Pokemon and trainer cards to kind of make a more versatile deck, with the assumption that you won't have as as many Pokies in the field, but that they should be able to do more, and that the trainer cards should help you find the appropriate energy amounts and the Pokemon you're looking for.
Oh, interesting. And you know, it's funny because when you were telling me those numbers earlier, I was like, that can't be right. But when you look at it that way, I do see how you were just really sort of leveraging those trainer cards in particular to sort of get your desired result quicker.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, both of them kind of don't agree on how many trainer cards you should have. The rough guideline is 20 to 30 if you're looking at the two things. So that's basically half your deck. The rest are Pokemon. And I would say your Pokemon are your starting point. So if you have one or two Pokemon that you really want to build a deck around, go ahead and pick those maximum two or three chains of evolutions that you want to work down. And of course, using basic Pokemon can mean if you only use basic Pokemon, I should say, those are non-evolved Pokemon, you can of course spend more time focusing on trainer and energy cards, since you won't have to have evolution cards in your deck. There are useful cards for making up for your energy if you're going on the lower end, such as double colorless energies. These cards will allow you to, if you attach it to a Pokemon, you can use it to use two energy, essentially, for anything that doesn't require a specific color. With that said, I'd like to cover a sample deck that I found online. So this deck has 13 Pokemon, 10 energy cards, and 37 trainer cards.
Wow.
The trainer cards are kind of across the board. It has escape ropes, float stones, ultra balls, cards like N or Professor Sycamore. The energy cards it has are 6 metal energy and 4 double colorless energy. So that again touches on what I just said about having your double colorless energy to kind of get around the need for a specific energy.
And I'd imagine that you really want to decide what Pokemon cards you want and be familiar with their attacks, right? So that you're not like, oh, well, these Pokemon don't use colorless. They need specific energy.
Oh, yeah. Before you build your deck, you would definitely want to have, like, a real familiarity with the cards you're building with.
Yeah, and just start with a theme. If you know you want to go fairy psychic, then look at those cards, look at the energies that they're going to require, and then just kind of build around that. This particular deck, the 13 Pokemon cards are 3 Mega Audino EX, 4 Audino EX, 2 Shaymin EX cards, 1 Hoopa EX card, 1 Magnara EX card, a Cobalion card, and an Absol card. The thing that is important to note about this particular deck is, so it is on that lower energy card list, at lower Pokemon, focusing higher on trainer cards. So the trainer of this deck is obviously trying to find a way to change the rules and bring out their most powerful Pokemon probably pretty quickly. So this deck is actually the deck that was used in the Masters division of the Pokemon TCG Championships this year.
Okay, it has that kind of build look. Like, this is so specific to sort of be very precise with that small number of Pokemon. I'm not surprised to hear that this was a championship deck.
Yeah, I believe the trainer's name is Shintaro Ito. So if anyone out there knows if I'm incorrect on that, please feel free to correct me. But yeah,
don't give them that power.
I meant in this one instance. I don't want people telling me when I do other things wrong, just this one thing.
Noted.
From here on out, expect perfection. So this deck is heavily focused on making sure that Mega Audino's EX Magical Symphony basically gets priority. It can basically two-shot almost any Pokemon. It'll one-shot a Shaymin EX. And it's essentially regarded as an innovative deck, the type of which has never really been seen, so it's understandable that this was the champion deck of the year. And I think that actually covers everything I had as far as covering the basics and how to build a deck. I'll probably build a deck after this show so that I can post that somewhere to our website so people can see how other people build decks. I'm obviously by no means a champion level Pokemon TCG player, but I always think it's fun to see what other people have, and I'll probably be doing this on the online card version and just posting screen caps from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I learned a lot, and I hope that our lovely, beautiful listeners out there Internet Radio Land did too. So, moving forward, Slaggy, I believe you are leading our episode discussion of the anime now.
I am.
Fantastic. All right, let's try to keep this tight because we are at the 45-minute mark.
All right, so we're discussing episodes 13 through 16 of Pokemon the Series XY. Starting with episode 13, Kindergarten Chaos. The blurb is Ash and his friends come across a girl named Penelope who asks to battle Ash. If she wins, then Ash has to go out with her. That's kind of like a misleading statement because actually what happens is that she is a like kindergarten preschool teacher who goes and gets Pokemon to like introduce to the children. And so this time she has a battle with her Sylveon versus Ash's Froakie. Froakie gets attacked with Attract and gets super lovesick, and then Sylveon uses Draining Kiss. And so Froakie is super humiliated. They go to this kindergarten. There's this kid who's like super shy and had a bad experience with a Hoppip and a Beedrill. And
that
so,
just sounds dirty.
It sounds wrong, but you know, and so he's kind of like traumatized by Pokemon. Team Rocket comes with a big truck that's meant to be like a like entertainment circus thing. They end up capturing Sylveon and Pikachu with the little boy in the Froakie still on the truck. So Ash basically jumps onto the back of the moving truck and they all help save the day. I thought it was definitely the weakest of the batch.
I thought it was pretty cute because we got to see Sylveon for the first time in the anime.
Sylveon was really cute, yeah.
And the animation for Moonblast in this episode in particular was on fire.
It was like Moon Tiara magic, mama, yeah.
Yasquin. And so I thought that was really cute. I did like the misleading bit about Ash going on a date and how Serena kind of got upset about it.
Except Penelope was like way too old for Ash. I was like, creepy.
I'm just surprised that Bonnie didn't be like, hey, you need to marry my brother because he dumb.
Ah. Oh, we got some of that later. Spike, did you have anything to say about Kindergarten Chaos?
You know, I thought it was cute. I like any episode that has a lot of Froakie in it, so whatever. I was into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Hashtag Team Froakie over Pikachu.
I just think it was the weakest one. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Episode 14 was Seeking Shelter from the Storm. When Ash and his friends are caught in a rainstorm, they find a nearby abandoned mansion to take refuge. Unbeknownst to them, Team Rocket has also taken refuge in the same place as well. Both groups are frightened by strange occurrences through the house, which is all centered on a mysterious shadow. And that shadow ends up being an adorable Esper who just wants to play. It was really cute. Bonnie ends up playing with and befriending the Esper, and it has a really touching story. Like, the Esper had originally come into the mansion, and there was an old lady who lived there, Grandma Lacey, and so she had, like...
Oh, she died.
Yes, but, you know, she kind of befriended the Esper, and, like, because all her grandchildren were grown up at that point, so...
I think that the Esper has split personalities and maybe murdered Grandma Lacey.
Whoa, but anyways, surprisingly, for a Pokemon episode, it does turn out that Grandma Lacey had passed away because one of the granddaughters comes by at the end and befriends Esper, and she's like, do you want to go visit Grandma Lacey's grave? And I was surprised because I thought as a children's show, they were going to, you know, cop out and be like, oh, I was just at the doctor for my cough, because they showed Grandma Lacey like out of breath at one point. I was like, are they really going to have her die?
See, I thought the twist was going to be like in the American version, they would be like, oh, Grandma Lacey moved away to come live with me and my family. I came to like pick up some of her things, so why don't I take you with me, Esper?
So I have to
say,
I was really impressed that they kept that in there.
Yeah, it's played as, you know, fairly sad, but at the same time, the connection that this dead old granny and Esper had.
Dead old granny.
It, you know, it absolutely perseveres, and I thought it was actually really cute and sweet, and I effing love Esper. I think it's one of the cutest Pokies, so I was super into this.
I thought this was a really, really strong episode.
My issue with the episode was the whole, oh god, scary things are happening. What could it possibly be? Like, we don't once a year see Ash get scared by some ghost or psychic Pokemon doing something, and then he acts like he's never even heard
of
Pokemon before.
Ash is kind of dumb. We've talked about this.
I know, but it just...
That's why he's going to Pokemon school, in Alola.
We don't talk about that.
Oh, well, excuse me. Okay, so, yeah, I really like this episode. And next up, episode 15, An Appetite for Battle. Chespin gets fat after eating so many of Serena's macarons. Clement decides to put it on a diet by making an exercise machine and have it exercise through Pokemon battles. Chespin is not making progress. So, basically, what happens is they're camping. Serena's like, I have some macarons, and Chespin ate all of them. And so, you know, Clement, after trying to make him exercise, he thinks that Clement's like all like, oh, he doesn't like me. But really what happened is that Chespin followed a wonderful aroma of macarons that an old lady was making. But it turns out that she wants to have a battle with her husband because what it turned out is that he had been like, oh, haven't you eaten enough of that stew?
Yeah, so, he was fat shaming her. This was the fat shame
this
episode.
This is a fat shaming episode.
I mean, I don't want to say like I particularly like the resolution that like, oh, Chespin fights a Delphox and gets skinny again and like let's just all eat cake. It was a very mixed message. I felt I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way, but Chespin was super cute. I love that he loves to eat macarons. He's my spirit poke. Spike, do you have any thoughts on an appetite for battle?
You know, it's tough because like any episode that has like a cute tubby Chespin rolling around and being cute, like of course I'm gonna love that, but the messaging I thought was really messed up, and I was kind of not really here for it, like you guys say.
I was hoping that, like, and they kind of alluded to it, like, by having him roll around. I was like, they should teach him to move roll out, and then be like, even no matter what your size or your appetite, you still can be in battle shape.
And we already know that, you know, the show is willing to have Pokemon features that wouldn't exist in the game. Maybe this is just a fat Chespin that has special abilities other Chespin don't have. It wouldn't have been
like
that big of a deal.
Like tough skin or, like, stockpile or something.
Yeah, I think they were trying to stick closer this generation to keeping it more like...
Ash's Greninja.
I said trying. They were trying.
All right.
Fair. As in, well, you are trying my patience.
Episode 16 is a Jolteon switcheroo. Bonnie and another girl's bags get mixed up. This leaves the other girl with Clement's Dedenne and Bonnie with the girl's Pichu. So they're at a Pokemon Center, you know, getting their Pokemon all healed up. And there's a little girl who happens to have the same yellow bag as the one that Bonnie's carrying Dedenne around in. And so there's...
Fashion faux pas!
There's a mix-up, they each kind of end up bonding with the other's Pokemon, and eventually Clement makes a Clementic gear that amplifies Pikachu's thunderbolts or whatever to help Dedenne get the signal, which it ends up working, but then like they barely miss Dedenne, and they end up in a vineyard, and there's a Beedrill attack, and then so they all get reunited, and the little girls are crying. They're like, I'm sorry, Pichu, I'm sorry, Dedenne. I thought it was actually really cute. Pichu is adorable. Having Pichu and Pikachu interact was super adorable. And I know that you both kind of felt this way too. I would have been okay if they were like, you know, I like Dedenne and I like Pichu, but we found out that the other Pokemon was a better match for us, so let's trade.
I feel like that would have been cool because they hardly ever do trades in the series. So having that as like a nod to the games would have been cool. But I mean, Dedenne's part of the opening sequence. They're not getting rid of that lore.
Yeah, I mean, Dedenne is an XY Pokemon, Pichu's not, so...
Yeah, and yet I was still hoping, because, man, Pichu is adorable, and, you know, I mean, Dedenne is adorable, too, but it's a step down from Pikachu, or Pichu.
I mean, it's the Pichu of this generation.
That is fair and true, yes.
All right, so that wraps up our anime discussion of the week.
Yeah, so those two episodes there focused on eating and eating problems because Dedenne kept, like, trying to eat food.
Oh, and, yeah, and then and the little Pichu girl bought him a donut.
Yeah, so I think they're sending some really toxic messages out about eating healthy, and I don't necessarily feel like eating healthy is a way to be.
Ah, you lie. I know for a fact you eat pretty healthy. I just want to make a point. We have not talked about the Pokemon Generations anime yet. We will be remedying that next episode, so please look forward to it.
All right. Well, I hear we have some card releases to talk about.
Indeed. Upcoming, we have the Mythical Pokemon Collection Keldeo Box, and that will be available on October 12th.
That's awesome.
As far as recent releases, I know that the Pikachu EX box recently released. I picked one up. Sulker, I believe you picked one up. Yeah. What did you think?
I liked it. I got... I mean, I really like the Pikachu EX card. I think it's cute and damaging, and I think the art on it's actually pretty cool. And I was able to get my Mega Venusaur EX out of that pack, as well as a Flareon EX, which was super cute.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds great. Yeah, I like the Pikachu card, and I got good cards in my boosters that came with it. So yeah, no complaints here either. Saigi, did you pick up Pikachu EX?
I did not, but I think I should pick up this Caldeo box, because you won a little Caldeo figure for me from a UFO machine at the arcade the other day.
Oh yeah, yesterday we were at the Round 1 arcade in Concord, I'm sorry, Pleasant Hill, to celebrate Slagkick's birthday.
Wait, his birthday's coming up?
And yeah, there was a UFO catcher machine with a bunch of really cute PVC Pokemon in it, and so I pulled a couple out for these guys. It was pretty cool.
And I got a Caldeo.
And woo-hoo! I got an Eevee and I can never remember its name. It's the green one.
Ranunculus or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Ranunculus.
Excellent. All right, well, in the interest of keeping this show moving, it is time to talk about our Pokemon of the week. And since this was my pick this week, I picked Articuno.
And that's the noise that I was trying to make at the beginning of the episode.
I see. It all makes sense now. So Articuno is number 144. It is the freeze Pokemon. Its typing is ice and flying. Its original Pokédex entry, a legendary bird Pokémon that is said to appear to doomed people who are lost in icy mountains.
And kills them.
So obviously that is super spoopy. It is, I don't think, any surprise that this is my personal fave Pokémon. It's brutal, it's spooky, it's ice, it is rad.
Elegant.
Right? I might also recall Articuno as the sigil for Team Mystic, which is a contour of the legendary bird Articuno. Articuno is one of the three legendary birds of Kanto alongside Zapdos and Moltres, and in the anime, it first pops up etched into a stone hanging in the Viridian Pokemon Center in the episode Pokemon Emergency. Other notable appearances from the anime, Articuno made a cameo in the intro of Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, The Rise of Darkrai, and Zoroark, the Master of Illusions.
Illusions!
A photograph of an Articuno appears in a legendary photo op, and an Articuno appears in an electrifying rage in a fantasy sequence.
And of course, there's Pokemon the Movie 2000.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. It's a source of campaign closing speeches.
Indeed. And last but certainly not least, Articuno made a really cute cameo in Super Smash Bros. Melee. Articuno is a Pokeball Pokemon in that game. If you are lucky enough to catch Articuno in a Pokeball, he will use a Blizzard attack to freeze any opponent caught in it for several seconds. So that's about all I have to say for Articuno here. He is my favorite Pokemon, and I don't know that we had any listener feedback on this one because I did not pick Articuno until this morning because of poor planning.
Oh, well, that's fine. I actually did go ahead and get some listener feedback for
us. That's awesome.
Adolfo Real over on Facebook says, I think he's one of the cooler, pun intended, legendaries, but has a number of weaknesses, and not the best moveset, though I could be wrong there. Love the design, but it's outclassed by the other two, in my honest opinion.
Awesome. Thank you for that feedback.
I love how you're resisting being like, you're wrong, because he is a friend.
Ah, but also, yeah.
So, speaking of feedback, our link cables, this week we had a post that clearly I didn't write, because it says, this week, Trainer Sulker talks about Pokemon TCG Basics. Trainer Slagkick teaches us about being basic energy. The question of the week is, what's your favorite Pokemon TCG card or strategy? I'm going to answer really quick. I really like Birthday Pikachu. And it's not just because my birthday's coming up. I thought that was a really cute...
Wait, when's your birthday?
So my favorite Pokemon trading card game card or strategy probably is just the card Pikachu Libre. I just think it's super cute, and Pikachu Libre is like my all-time fave now.
What about you, Trainer Sulker?
I just spent too much time talking about Pokemon TCG. I'll cover that on another episode.
All right. Well, some of our listeners had some thoughts. We had Nigel D. said, Swing Dance and Smooth Over. I'm not familiar with those, but sounds like a pretty cool strategy.
On Twitter, Nathan Blade says, back in the day, energy removal was my fave. Now I like Mega Guard, Aromatisse, Jank. Not so much anymore, though.
Your Enzyme shared a tweet with us that is a GIF of Charlie in the Chocolate Factory opening a Willy Wonka chocolate bar, but it says Pokemon Go update for Google Play.
And do keep in mind, that is Your Enzyme, the super super effective fan of this show.
And also regarding the new buddy system, Ryder Blades says that for real, Metapod is my very best friend, RN, but after that, it'll be Gengar all the way.
Aw, yay.
I love Gengar. Ryder Blades responds about Pokemon Generations Episode 2, saying was never a big fan of Team Rocket, but this makes him feel actually cool instead of super petty, and then the nails emoji.
Yes, fantastic. I actually haven't watched the new episode. Oh, that was from Episode 2. Oh, yeah, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I have lots to say about that. And
oh, yeah.
I've heard that I will have lots to say about Episode 3.
Yeah, and we'll cover all that on the next episode.
Along with 4 and possibly 5.
Yeah, well, with that, we love your feedback. We love your iTunes and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes.
We effing love Twitter.
And we have to thank Sulker for putting together our Tumblr. So are we stabcast.tumblr.com? Is that...
stabcast.org.tumblr.com.
Oh, you could do a .org.tumblr.com?
Well, I wrote .org.
Oh, D-O-T-O-R-G. Similar to the way we use our other social media. But we have stabcast.org, which is literally just a .org, is our home base for all these episodes. Spike, I hear you have some shout-outs to shout-out.
I do. Of course, as ever and always, I want to shout-out to our good friends over at the Voice of Geeks Network. You can find them over on vognetwork.com, including such shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Olenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, Pokemon Go, and spin-offs of the franchise. You can also find GameBuoy.org, where every gamer has a voice. That's not our tagline. We are your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. That is Slagkick and I's show. We are syndicated over on VOG Network, and we are big fans of all the other VOG Network shows as well. Last but not least, I'd like to point you in the direction of the Ranger Pride cast. That's where I and Shane Olenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Japanese Super Sentai series upon which it's based. Slaggy, what about you?
I'd like to shout out to Reading is Fundamental, the podcast where myself, Spike, Delvin from VG Realness, and Rob Roberts serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, honey, along with Orange Lounge Radio over on the Voice of Geeks Network, where every gamer has a voice, featuring Rob Roberts, Loki, and Dark Sakura, the longest-running gaming podcast airing live on Sundays. We pretty much owe our podcasting existence to them, and you should go check them out. I'm going to baton pass it over to Sulker.
It's super effective. PKMN Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explores the in and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond, all this and a weekly podcast. We do have an update here. Previously listed, Dungeons and Dragonites has now been rebranded as Mythical, with Dungeons and Dragonites being its first season, is now in its second season, Mazes and Magikarps.
I love it.
This show takes two of the best aspects of geek life. GM Whitewing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with classic D&D classes and villains. I'd also like to shout out to the Extra Life Fundraiser, a fundraising foundation that once a year runs a 24-hour marathon of gaming to provide assistance to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. This will be my fourth year participating in the fundraising campaign, and you can donate to us over at The Alliance or to my own personal page, which should be located on our Stabcast website. And I believe we have something to say about the music?
We have music. It's great. We got music. It's theme music by Nathan Sharp, also known as Nate Wants to Battle. It is Professor Sycamore's theme. Still, even with Kukui, probably our favorite Professor Stud. So we have music.
All right. Well, with all that having been said, this has been a lovely but hot Sunday afternoon. Thank all of y'all out there in Internet Radio Land for spending it with us. I hope you have had half as much fun listening as we have had talking today.
And hopefully in half the temperature.
Right. We look forward to coming back at you in another week or two. But until then, keep training, keep catching, and see you, Space Cowboy Mon.
I need to go to the Celadon City vending machine, get some soda pop or lemonade.
I came when I heard you'd beaten the Elite Four.
Whoa. Coach for Pokemon Go shared a widget that is the mini Dex. So
oh, interesting.
They, I guess, seeked us out as a Pokemon podcast. To, I don't know, I think this was kind of a spammy account, but thanks.
So we're not directing listeners to, like, bad, like, malware with this, are we?
I don't think so.
Maybe we remove that from this, or we just don't go to there, people. Don't go to there.
So maybe make an informed decision. So what's going on with
Poke? In fact, I am testing my mic. Speak in your mic.
I'm going to test my mic right now.
Yeah, so what is going on this PokeBeach.com?